Let's get right back to our interview about the 4th Street Festival in Bloomington, Indiana, with committee member artists Rebecca Lowry, Don Adams, and Chris Bush.
Don, it's your turn to tell us your arts journey.
My mom took some art, you know, personal art lessons with a lady who had a studio and did art classes, and came home with paintings that I would look at and wouldn't believe that she did, because I couldn't figure out how she'd done it. And she said, well, would you like to do that? Take some classes. I said, yes. I was around 12.
Wow.
Was it? No looking back for me. That was it. I've never thought I would ever do anything else. I didn't know what to do, but it wouldn't be anything else.
It would just be painting, painting, painting. Yeah.
Well, I did undergraduate work at DePauw University, and I got my MFA here at IU in painting. But the person I married, my husband, Dale Steffi, there's a big community here, and he knew how to do stained glass. And so we paired up and did art fairs in stained glass, and then it moved into fused glass or painting on glass. And that was what we were doing together. And we did art fairs many years, 30 mm-hmm. years.
30 years. Wow.
Well, it's been more than that. But in 2007, our son passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
That sort of blew up the thing. He was ready to give up the, you know, make an artwork. One of the things he did was he went out and scrounged all the he became a book collector.
Okay.
And he would go out every day and look in all the thrift stores and go to all the garage sales and buy books. And he ended up becoming a book scout and then a book dealer and built this book business. And we stopped doing glass in 2010. But me, I could not stop making stuff. So I decided to go back to doing painting. And I chose doing paintings that had soothing. I wanted it to be healing, rejuvenating. And I chose water mostly as the subject matter. So a lot of my paintings have that water component.
I mean, we're in Zoom, so it's not the best quality for me to see your painting, but the reaction that I have looking at that piece is exactly what you're talking about. The water, the detail of the water, the waterfall, the rocks, that is a place of peace and healing. It's like I want to go there, you know. So what you're doing is working. Keep doing it.
Thank you. One this really nice thing about doing art fairs and his business is doing did really well during COVID. You know, mm-hmm. some people did well. It's really interesting. So I'm not doing as many art fairs. We don't leave, you know, he has to shut his business down when we leave. But one thing that I really like about doing them, and I have sort of missed, is something that Chris alluded to earlier. And you really don't get this in galleries either, unless you happen to be there for an opening or something
right.
like that. And it's kind of formal. But you get to spend, I don't know, it's 10 hours one day and 9 hours another day talking to people and seeing how they respond to your work when they walk into your booth.
Yeah, it's that connection with the people.
Yeah, that's invaluable. You know, mm-hmm. It starts with your idea. Mm-hmm. You put it on, in my case, the canvas. Then you hang it up, and then somebody's got to look at it, and then what do they get it? You know, you get to see that full circle.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's something that art fairs provide that, you just don't get any other place. I mean,
you really don't. Yeah, you don't. Yeah.
It's not ideal. I have a 10 by 10. My work is, this is a 5 foot painting back here.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't fit very well with other 5 foot paintings in a 10 by 10 booth.
Yeah.
But But that whole idea of having it in a very accessible way and then being able to talk to people and have them see your work and that kind of communication is extraordinarily rewarding. So, I mean, doing art fairs is dang hard. I mean, all of you know, I mean, I've been crouched in pulling all my stuff down during, you know, tornado warnings. I've seen booths flying in the air. I've had a couple booths disappear. Yeah. You know,
I know it is back-breaking work. I did it for 1 year when I first started selling paintings and photographs and didn't have a clue what I was doing. I remember thinking, well, I got to get whatever this square thing is, because if you don't have square, you're not going to make sales. And I at least figured that out right away. And I did it for a year. And I like to tell people, I always made my booth fee and a little more. I always sold enough to make it worthwhile. But it was, especially for a person like me with heart and lung problems, it was really hard. And I didn't go far. I stayed very local, you know, county local. And as the year progressed, I dwindled that down to even, not even the whole county, you know. But I mean, I went every weekend and it was very hard. And so when I hear you, all of you talk about doing it for years, and Don, you, I mean, doing it for decades, I have so much admiration for that passion and drive that you have to be that artist that goes and connects with people. Because the one thing I do miss about festivals and art fairs was connecting with people and having them come in my booth and talk to me about the pieces that they loved. And invariably, the pieces that people loved and bought were the pieces I thought were not good, the ones that I thought failed. My vision didn't work. It didn't happen. I failed in the execution. And those are the ones that everybody liked. I'm like, really? This one over here that's like perfect? You don't like that one? Because my idea of perfect and their idea of perfect, different things, you know. But I do know what you mean about that connection with talking to someone and seeing their eyes light up and seeing them connect. And 9 times out of 10, they end up telling you a story from their life about what that painting is talking to them and speaking to them. And it's just, it's such a bonding between the artist and the viewer. It's such a bonding moment. And you're right, you really don't get that in any other venue, even the gallery openings and things like that and receptions, because like you said, Don, those are a little more formal and there's an awkwardness to standing by your work waiting for someone to come talk to you, you know. It's just there. It's a little awkward. So all of that means that the 4th Street Festival is going to be fabulous, because you've got 80 artists coming, willing to share their work, their stories, their lives, their efforts, and you've got patrons coming to eat it all up, literally and metaphorically, because you know they're just desperate to have that connection with artists again. So I think it's going to be a fabulous festival this year.
Yeah, and we do have all of the artists up on the website, so you get a little preview.
Yeah, I was going through those. I was click the arrow, next. Yeah, I was enjoying looking at that. So I'll be looking at it virtually, because until Indiana has a, you know, fully vaccinated percentage in the high 80s, I will not be in public because of my risk factors. But I appreciate so much you guys taking time out of a Thursday evening. We're recording on a Thursday, and you know, in the evening after a long day, and you know, towards the end of a week, you know, I appreciate so much you guys coming and being my guests at the round table, because I love hearing your arts journeys, hearing about the festival. It's just inspiring to me. I'm inspired by you. So thank you all so much for joining me.
Thank you, Alice.
We're really thrilled.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.